Today is Thursday, November the 13th, 313th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, St. Bernard's president, principal, head honcho, not wearing green, and I don't know why, Dave Sharp.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks for noticing.
Well, you know, it's that brilliant purple that stands out along with the blue.
I don't see any purple.
That's okay. Neither do I. Don't. Yeah. Now you're giving away. All the theater just went out, sucked out the radio speaker.
Interview's over.
No, it's blue and it's black. It's pedestrian. It's boring. this afternoon, we'll talk a little bit about Dave's opportunity to go to China, find out what was going on over there. And he also has, finally, somebody's getting excited about the economic impact of some of the stuff that we talk about. Somebody other than me. So he's got some numbers about what some of the various programs mean to the Eureka economy, to the Humboldt County economy. So it'll be nice to put some dollar signs on some of these things that we've been talking about over the years. We'll do that when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp from St. Bernard's. But before we do our quote this afternoon, let's see. You want a leadership type?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Let's see how exciting we can get here. Casey Stengel. You heard Alvin Dark died today.
Yes.
That was kind of disappointing. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize he was alive. But now that I do, now it's disappointing that he died.
92, former manager of the Giants?
Giants, the Indians, the A's. He was there with the... Did he precede Dick Williams in the swinging A's, or did he follow him? I think he followed Dick Williams. You know, they won the World Series, and then he left.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Dart came in after that, so it was after his stint with the Giants, yeah. And also, he was there when Bobby Thompson hit the home run. So, all right, enough baseball trivia. This is, however, from Casey Stengel, right into the frying pan. Sometime between 1890 and 1975, when he was manager of the New York Mets. Quote, "The secret of successful managing is to keep the five guys who hate you from the four guys who haven't made up their minds."
Oh, yeah, locker room chemistry.
Yeah. Little Stengelese. Oh, boy. So how's life in the big time?
Well, pretty good. Nice sunny day. Getting ready for some football and volleyball this weekend.
You're not going to brag on either team?
Let me start. Where should I start?
Getting ready for a football game. Okay. Getting ready for a volleyball game.
Both of our...
Let's see if we can get three more people there. Go.
You, me, and here you go.
Yeah.
1 o'clock Saturday is our first playoff football game. NCS starts this weekend, Friday and Saturday night. Saturday night at home against Ferndale. Saturday night at home it'll be under the sun. Saturday afternoon, how about that? Against Ferndale. Third time we're going to see them this year. And then we've got our volleyball girls playing that night at 7 o'clock at Crusader Gym. So it's going to be a busy day for St. Bernard's Athletics, but the kids have worked very hard to get to this point and beyond. So playoffs start here pretty soon.
Opening against Ferndale, that must have made somebody really happy.
You know, the NCS, the seedings have changed over time, and one thing that they rank you, and then wherever you fall in the rankings, it's we're a 2 seed, Ferndale's a 15 seed. So in prior years, they would look at that and say, well, let's, you know, bring in a out of the area team and kind of massage the rankings.
Or at least give it a week separation. It's just 116, 215 on down the line. You know,
pretty much, yeah.
I love the creativity of the NCS. it's truly staggering. Well, then who's the volleyball going against?
It's an out-of-the-area team. I looked at the football bracket before I came here, not the volleyball. So I go to the website, right, and find out.
Yeah. I see. Yes, thank you for that question. Next. Oh, boy. What's the big wow that is going on this fall?
Big wow this fall has just been a tremendous, successful start to the year in terms of athletics is kind of the first thing that we've been looking at. Football team has done phenomenal against some, higher ranked opponents. Volleyball has won league. Tennis has done well. We've got a freshman golfer who's, tops in the county. So it's been a real nice start of the year. Even, athletics, that's a student-driven event. And the students are out there having success, enjoying what they're doing, and, getting on the front page in the newspaper and even, a few minutes on a little talk show here. but it's nice to celebrate their achievements and their success. I mean, from a freshman, to the seniors and everyone in between has had a good fall and a good start to the year.
Does it spill over into the classroom?
I think so, because there's morale that goes into it. And, if the teams are winning, the kids are happy, and it builds the community, the school, the student support faster. So, and we're looking at a good basketball season, both boys and girls. So this is a good start that's not going to end, here soon. It's going to continue and spill over into the other seasons.
As you look inside the academic elements of the school, what's sitting out there that you'd really like to be able to take care of before the end of this academic year is over?
I think we'd like to be able to provide a bit more support for our struggling students, and that might be a student that's maybe a B student that's at a C, or of course those that might be failing that get them up to a C. So having really somebody dedicated full time to supporting those students, even though we're a small school, 140 students in the high school, there still is a need for somebody to really take those students and push them to where they really should be.
Same thing holds true in the junior high?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I think even though we have small class sizes, there's still it's not all A students. It's not all elite, wealthy families. I mean, it's a diverse group, and among that, there's going to be students at different levels of academics, and we want to be able to reach not just those at the top, but those that need a little extra pushing.
KINS News and Information Times, 319.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. Dave, the concept I know of having international students as part of the student body is still something that's relatively foreign for a lot of high schools. Mm-hmm. You got the exchange programs, whether it's AFS or Rotary or some of the other ones that are out there. Okay, so you may have onesies, twosies. But to have 15, 20, 25% of a student population mm-hmm. being international kids is still mm-hmm. something that's relatively rare. Are things changing? Do you see other schools throughout the country, whether they're private or public, doesn't mm-hmm. make mm-hmm. much difference, understanding and coveting and marketing to and going after the international marketplace at the high school level? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. It's certainly something that's relatively new, but it's catching on. And there are more and more private schools in the U.S. that are accepting international students, as you mentioned, not just for 1 year, but for 2, 3, 4 years. And some have gotten pretty creative because not only do you have to educate them, but you need to house them as well. For us, we're fortunate we have a facility on campus that allows us to house 40 students. Some other schools have either built a facility, or I've heard of others that have partnered with other universities or community colleges to use some of their housing.
The dorms.
Yeah. And then there's even a school or two out there that have purchased old hotels to renovate and turn into student housing. So, you know, why are schools like St. Bernard's and others doing it? It's becoming more and more difficult to, especially for a Catholic school, to attract the core students that we've been getting in the
cultural
past.
Cultural experience, cash flow.
There you go. Yeah. So, and that's...
You banker guys, I mean, you dance around that stuff, and it's just right there, yeah. And I mean, I would think for the kids going through, I know when our youngest was, mm-hmm. that was part of the mix.
Yeah.
You know, and as you're aware, we had one of them as an exchange student with us. We mm-hmm. had that opportunity. Okay. It would have been a lesser experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not a bad experience, not a good experience, just a lesser experience if Martin hadn't been with us. Okay, that's cool. But that doesn't talk about the classroom setting or in the mm-hmm. halls or mm-hmm. in the interaction if they don't happen to be staying at your house. So mm-hmm. is that something that most kids will comment on when you do the surveys, that that's a positive, that's an extra special, that's something that St. Bernard's now would be less of a school if it didn't exist?
Well, I think we've been doing this for almost 10 years now. So it feels as if it's just a part of, you know, these international students are just a part of the student body. And I think it's in the way that they conduct themselves and interact with other students that allows that integration to happen quicker. Many of these students that we get from China, South Korea, Cambodia, Brazil, Germany, Italy, come in with the same goal our domestic students have, and that is to go to a good university.
Get out of high school.
Get out of Eureka as soon as possible. No. To certainly, and in order to do that, you know, you got to do well in the classroom. But doubly for our international students, they have to not just do well in the classroom, but they also have to begin to master the English language. And so in order to do that, they need to speak, read, write, and they really force themselves into conversations and eventually friendships with domestic students that allow them, you know, to bridge that gap and become a better English speaking student so that they can have greater success in high school at St. Bernard's and then eventually at a university.
Is it, obviously it's convenient, is it beneficial to have the housing on campus? I mean, if you were starting over, would you like it to be a quarter mile away, a half mile away, so that all the kids on campus were experiencing similar experiences?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it's beneficial for us because we can, even after 3 o'clock, we can kind of push them into activities and things that they might not otherwise do if they were a quarter mile away or further. And that's in particular is sports. We require study hall for our international students, but we will waive that study hall requirement if they're playing a sport. And why, I mean, why would you waive study hall? I mean, that's, they're using that time to study, but if they're playing a sport, they're going to be learning English a lot quicker and better. Because that coach doesn't speak Mandarin. We haven't found one yet. So they, in order to understand the plays, the game, they need to come up to speed pretty quickly. And they certainly still have time to do their studies and get good grades. But
so it's more of a language study hall?
Not so much, but it's an incentive for them to, you know, I can forego that hour and a half after dinner if I'm going and playing for a sports team. And in doing that, number one, I got to keep my grades up because I got to be eligible to play. But number two, I'm going to develop my English speaking a lot quicker and better than if I were just in a study hall or a dorm, you know, with other Chinese students or international students.
So for those then who aren't living in the dorm, they're at a deficit position?
They could be, but many actually all of our international students that live off campus live in a homestay. So they're able to, like the experience you had, eat, clean, do whatever it is as part of a normal family, and, you know, develop English with parents.
It's 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp from St. Bernard's. Dave, the concept of the international program is cool, and it certainly gives you a lot more flexibility in certain academic pursuits, certain cultural ones, obviously. What about the dollars and cents? Are these kids high-maintenance kids? Is it a real challenge for the school to have an international program, or is it something that you could see, if there was interest and desire, mm-hmm. pretty much any school, whether it's public or private, could have an international student body, maybe not hundreds of kids, mm-hmm. but 20 or 30 kids relatively easily.
I think that it does take a concerted effort, but there is enough schools out there where the template exists that somebody could pick it up pretty quickly and have success. For us, I mean, we do have some positions that are directly tied to the international program that without the program, we would no longer employ them. So, you know, it does take an effort, and the longer you do it, the more knowledge you gain of the marketplace and of these countries that we work with. So, but then again, you know, it could be picked up pretty quickly because this isn't really that new anymore.
Yeah, battle scars are always fun, aren't they?
Right.
I mean, it allows you to know that you're heading mm-hmm. the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, this is a program that's been in operation for almost 10 years. And so, and it's changed over that time as well. I mean, we find ourselves now when we go to China that we're doing a lot more of the work than we did before. And as more schools have come into accepting international students, we find that we need to make a more personal pitch to these families. Many schools, ourselves included, we do hire outside companies, agencies to represent us in these foreign countries. They're really armed with a catalog that says St. Bernard's and gives some key stats, and they might have worked with us in the past and can speak to us. We certainly try to get in front of those folks at least once a year and, you know, retrain them on the school, things that are new, and certainly, you know, the selling points. But for us, I mean, we're there on the ground talking to our existing families, talking to former families, getting them to bring people to the table that we can you know, they can help sell as in addition to us. So that brings us more close to the families and more of a connection for the students to the school coming in.
So as you look at it, it sounds like it's a more challenging just because there's more competition.
Well, certainly.
Okay. Is there more demand from, I guess it'd just be outside America, because you know, you kind of ran the list there a little bit, mm-hmm. of international kids wanting to, or their families wanting them to mm-hmm. attend high school in America?
Well, I think the demand is tied to that country's economy. And China has been the biggest player in sending these type of international students to American private schools. What's interesting, Canadian public schools can accept these students on not just an exchange basis. In the U.S., American high schools can accept them for 1 year due to the visa requirements. But in Canada, Canadian public schools are competing with private schools and are allowed to accept students for more than just 1 year and also charge a little bit higher tuition than they may be getting from the government. So there is a lobbying effort here, nationally at least, to change those visa requirements to allow those international students to come to public schools, pay a little extra, and be there for more than just a year. So, you know, that will be that will bring more competition. But for now,
it might broaden the pool though too. I mean, if it becomes more universal, okay, now you got more people extolling the virtues. The concept is more accepted by more people. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, there's more competition, but there may be 3 or 4 times as many kids also looking to locate. And I would think the West Coast puts you at a competitive position.
Yeah, and the Chinese families, they really look at a couple places, United Kingdom, Australia, and then West Coast, East Coast. And so we are at an advantage when we can say we're from California. Okay, oh, now you've got my interest.
Yeah, that's what Nebraska is today. Wow. 9 degrees is a low.
You know, there are parts of China that are pretty cold, but, you know, California does have a certain feel to it.
Yeah. Still being able to feel your toes is good. KINS, News and Information Times 341. We'll be back with more from Dave Sharp.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 344. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. Dave, the exciting part, I think, for a lot of folks who may or may not be involved with education, who may not be involved with St. Bernard's, or even be involved in Eureka, is the economic impact that some of this these kids have. Is an international kid at St. Bernard's worth a college kid at Humboldt?
That's a good question.
Financially, not culturally, financially.
Certainly. I don't know. Without knowing what Humboldt, what those students bring to Humboldt, I would say that it probably is pretty close, if I just make a guess, because our students are paying higher tuition, our international students paying higher tuition, they're paying room and board and fees that, you know, when I tell people what they're paying, they're like, well, that's what you pay for college. And, well, yeah, now they're paying it for high school. In addition to that, many of these families, in order to afford, you know, a sizable high school tuition payment, come from wealthy families. And so it's not just the spending that they do to come to St. Bernard's. It's once they get into our community, they're spending at restaurants, they're going in and out of the airport, buying clothing, and entertaining themselves. So that has an economic impact here in this area.
I think a lot of folks probably have seen some of the kids in some of the restaurants.
Sure.
That's probably the most likely position or place where we're going to cross paths with most of the kids.
And this has actually been studied. A couple undergrads from Humboldt State University about a year and a half ago surveyed our students and asked them, you know, where do you spend? And restaurants were the number one thing that they would spend their discretionary dollars on. And this survey also looked at, you know, what are they bringing to this area? And they were able to determine that the annual economic impact for this international program by just bringing in 30, 35 international students a year is bringing almost $2 million into the local economy through increased spending, through increased employment. There's 7.5 full-time equivalent positions that are created just out of this program. And so it's the dollars they're bringing into St. Bernard's that we're using to, you know, house and feed and educate them. But it's also the dollars that they're bringing to local restaurants, stores, the airport, that is having an impact. So it really is. It's beyond just educating, you know, students from another country. I mean, they're bringing their culture to us that we're learning as high school students and junior high students and also as educators. You know, but they're also bringing financial resources to our area that's coming in from the outside.
Would you love to double it?
Oh, certainly. And I think that we have the capacity to do that. And I think that there is also capacity for us to increase domestic enrollment to a point that maybe it is double. So I think it's a benefit for, you know, not just us, but also for, in what I outlined in this economic impact, for our community.
So how do you get there from here?
I think that we've got a good product. You know, we've got a good education. We have a convenient on-campus housing. It's just getting the word out there. And if that means we're there in China more often than once or twice a year, then that's what we need to do. It does take a significant amount of investment to go spend the time staff-wise and also, you know, to bounce around the country and stay in hotels and fly everywhere. But, you know, we are trying to get there. We do want to increase enrollment. But right now we're at 25%. Our international students are 25% of our high school. If it gets too much beyond, you know, one-third, then it changes the makeup of the student body, but it also signals to the international families that, well, you're over one-third now. Is my student going to be speaking their native language, or are they going to be among a lot of other students that are not speaking their language, so they're going to learn English quicker? So 25-30%, that's about the top of the range there.
Could you push that if they were, let's say, some South American kids?
That is a selling point. They do certainly. Sometimes families will ask that their student be housed with a student from another country, preferably an English-speaking country, but at least to get that other cultural experience. So, yeah, that when we say international students, you know, they're always, well, of course you have Chinese, but where else are they from? And so to say Brazil, Germany, Italy, that's a nice thing. They want to hear that.
Yeah, it just kind of changes it up a little bit. I would think that there would be. It would be interesting to see what the multicultural stuff would be at a high school level if you could get 10 kids, 10 Spanish-speaking mm-hmm. kids from, let's say, Argentina, mm-hmm. and a couple of Portuguese-speaking from Brazil or from Portugal. Yeah, really more of a collegial experience.
Yeah, that would really balance it out. Yeah, it would just it would
and
be
it make
sweet.
Lunches so much more interesting, too, if you had and all those different cuisines
and,
there. Yeah.
Bet.
Well... Here's to cool lunchtimes. Yeah, and maybe we'll get you out of that blue-gray thing and get you some color going here.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
We've been Talking Shop with Dave Sharp. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love.